But now my work is successful aging. And,
this.
Yeah, so this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, and it's about aging. And last week, the Environments for Aging conference took place in Vegas, where I was speaking about something called Beyond the Physical. And Beyond the Physical, of course, has to do with what you're talking about. So it's going to be kind of like that introduction so that people get this in the context of all the studies that show that people who are happier when they're older have certain attributes, and they're not just associated with their health.
Oh, yes. Oh, we can talk about the U-curve of happiness, too.
Right. We can have that. But I want to talk about your usual things, like reframing and the complaining and that type of thing. All right? We'll hear that in the introduction.
You'll guide me wherever you want to go.
Okay. But I do love the community part. You'll see why. And I certainly like the – they should understand that U-curve. Okay, Stuart, we are all ready, better than ready. Yes.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Now, you know, most every week I will listen to that little ditty, which was specifically written for our show, and you can listen to it. It's 10 minutes long. It's a show on aging and on successful aging at our website, generationboldradio.com. And I usually make a joke saying, well, the guy's in denial. Well, maybe he just wants to be happy when he looks in the mirror. And this is our happiness day. We're going to be talking about travel in the second half of our show. But in the first half of our show, we have an actual dyed-in-the-wool happiness expert. She is actually the happiness correspondent for Fox News. She is a recognized positive psychology coach and a talk radio host in her own right. She's Lisa Cypress Kamen, but most recently she's written a wonderful book. And it's a book you can't pass up if you have any interest at all in cultivating happiness that lasts. The name of the book, Are We Happy Yet? 8 Keys to Unlocking a Joyful Life. So it's time to get out there and celebrate with Lisa Cypress Kamen. Hi, Lisa. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Hi, Adrienne. I am happy to be with you. Really?
Happy to be. Yeah, of course you are. And Monday is the United Nations Happiness Day because they give a survey every year on what are the happiest countries. And we even know that here in the U.S., the happiest is Hawaii. We all know why. But maybe we should start with a little definition. What do you mean by happiness? Because otherwise we can't get a handle on the components that will bring us there.
Well, I'm glad that you asked that question because, you know, happiness is a very elusive thing for many people. And we also tend to think of the yellow smiley face that we really overuse in everything that we do, our little emoji world. But happiness, to me and to many others who are working in this field, we're really talking about sustainable well-being, creating a level of sustainability where life is pretty good. And there are some very, very simple markers of what that means to people across the world. You know, it includes having our basic needs met, feeling as though we have a purpose in life, feeling as though we have really good, connected, solid, intimate relationships that we're of use to people, I think is where a lot of people are hanging their happiness hats.
Yeah. So I want to develop that because I was explaining during our little pre-talk that the Environments for Aging, which took place at a big conference in Vegas, and my listeners know all about it. And my speech was about beyond the physical. And one of the major, major parts of it was what I call contribution. Because as we age, we get completely marginalized. And if we're marginalized, we cannot make a contribution to the community. And that was actually one of the first things that you said you wanted to talk about when I asked you, what's your major point? The community. Now, this is hard for aging folks, but apparently it's very important when it comes to happiness. So explain that so that we really can get a sense of why this is a component of happiness.
Well, I think feeling as though we are seen, heard, and understood, you know, plays into that element that we're talking about of contribution and community. So when we get to exercise our talents, our gifts, our passions in service not only to ourselves because it makes us feel good, but when we can impact somebody else, it really creates a circuit in the brain. I mean, it's called the helper's high, actually, which uplifts our mood. And that's why it's so important for people who perhaps maybe shut in, maybe their bodies are slowing down and they're not as agile as they once were, to somehow find a place to make a contribution. And it doesn't have to necessarily mean going out of the house.
Yeah, you know, when you go to assisted living or a nursing home, or even an over 55 community for active folks, the first thing they tell you is what they're going to do for you. They never lay it on the line that you still have an opportunity to contribute and do for others. So in your book, Are We Happy Yet? 8 Keys to Unlocking a Joyful Life, and we'll give you a website for that. And, of course, Amazon has it in your bookstore. You could always get it or order it. Lisa Cypress Kamen. I'm going to make sure everybody knows it. You've done a lot of research. Is it true? I think we have a prejudice. I think we feel that Western culture, we're not as happy as maybe Eastern culture. And Bhutan, with their gross national happiness advertising, is it true, in your opinion, that it's cultural, a genetic, something we can just, is a habit? What is happiness in that sense of sustainability?
Well, you ask a loaded question, and we should probably hit all points, but first going to, you know, is it genetic or is it cultural or is it environmental? You know, each of us is born with an emotional set point, you know, where we come into the world, we're basically, we have a set point that we always return to when bad things happen or good things happen. We sort of return to what our normal is. For some of us, that level is higher. For others, it's lower. Somebody, you know, sort of ranges on the depressed side, that set point is going to be lower for a sense of positive well-being. But here's what we do know, that regardless of where we start out, we can improve by 40%. And that improvement comes much like it would be training in the gym or for diet and nutrition. It's practice and repetition of those skills, of those actions that we absolutely know to help people elevate that emotional set point.
Well, you know, one of the things that's a habit, cultural habit, around those folks who grew up in Brooklyn, like me, is complaining. Complaining is a sport.
Yeah.
You know, it is a sport. Who could do better? How can you start to complain as early as possible and wipe the other person off the court, okay? But does it really matter if you're complaining and complaining? Does it kind of seep into your system and make you less happy?
Well, here's the thing. Some people report that when they get into that fine wine, it's a different bottle of something, right? The fine wine. Everybody knows it. I call it also kvetching. You know, when you're just kvetching,
sure.
You just can't you can't let up. We do get a little spike temporarily in well-being because it makes us feel good to whine about things, to whine about others. But it is not sustainable because ultimately it comes from a negative place. So I say when things go wrong, it's good to get it out. You know, it's good to have a bracketed amount of time where you can let your fine wine fly, and then you need to stop.
And then you need to stop. Now, one of the things I know you talk a lot about is your impact on others. You just mentioned that when you do positive things for other people, you get a wonderful. I loved what you called, you know, the helper's high. And Are We Happy Yet? 8 Keys to Unlocking a Joyful Life. You would think, now we're getting to the more cultural, you would think that the Western culture would be the happiest because, gee, we have the most. But you say no. Why?
Yes. I think that in Western culture, we are very much caught up in being bowls with holes in the sense that we're constantly striving for more. more money, more prestige, more friends, more likes, more follows, more, you know, it's a more culture. And the obtaining of that illusory goal is what we think will bring us happiness. You know, when I get rich, when I get married, when I have children, when I have grandchildren, you know, when I take that cruise, that those are the markers of external happiness. You know, and it's called hedonic happiness, you know, as it relates back to hedonism. It's very externally referenced. But the sustainable well-being that we're talking about is an inner place. You know, it's being filled up with what is, being able to see the glass as half full, you know, it's like the cover of the book, and working with what we have to make what we have happy, even though circumstances may not be perfectly happy.
So, you know, here's where we have the edge. We're speaking with Lisa Cypress-Kame, and she's the author of Are We Happy Yet? 8 Keys to Unlocking a Joyful Life. And she is a positivity coach, recognized positive psychology coach, talk show radio host. You may have seen her on Fox News, and, of course, an author. Before we leave for a little bit of a break, I want to set the stage here. I think it's right there, Lisa, that the older or elder person, like me, has an edge. Because we've got all the stuff already, or we don't. It's kind of over. We're in the decumulation stage. We're trying to get rid of stuff. And we have that space now to look at what really makes us happy in a sustained way. And to maybe because the world doesn't require so much of us anymore. We don't have to show it by numbers, what you say, happiness by numbers, how many of this and how many of that. We now show by grace and wisdom and some of the deeper things. And I definitely want to talk about how to cultivate that. But before we take our little break, where can everybody find the book, and is there any website you'd like our folks to know about?
Yes. Folks can go over to harvestinghappiness.com, and there you'll have access to the books, to the radio show, which is also entitled Harvesting Happiness Talk Radio, videos, lots of content over there, and just a fun place to visit.
Fantastic. So harvestinghappiness.com. Are we happy yet? 8 Keys to Unlocking a Joyful Life. We'll be back. Look at some of the keys. Just that, no more.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so this is really good.
It's great. I love talking about the aging aspect.
Yeah, I think it is very important because I obviously have a mission, we'll say, which is really to stamp out ageism so everybody has a kick-ass old age. That's my mission.
Yes, yes, yeah.
No, it's great.
I get it.
I do get it too.
Yeah,
but a lot of people don't.
No, they don't. And I in the last several years, I donate, I volunteer at the Malibu Senior Center in my community, and I run groups for caregivers. So these are people who are caring for an aging spouse or an aging parent, and they need to be refueled and filled. And it's such a fun group, you know, because they really, they're hungry. They're hungry for upliftment.
Well, I would love to mention that because our show is for boomers, caregivers, and the mature. And caregivers are our youngest listeners. Their average age is about 45, and they're working. So I'd love you to say that, and I think that's so important. And my volunteering is funny. It's for young kids who've lost their parents early in life. I'm one of them. And I can tell you that that's a struggle to stay happy when you don't have a parent or two parents sometimes, and everybody else does. It's a toughie. But here we're talking about the average Joe who's done, you know, what he thinks he should do to make himself happy and it's just not working. So I do want to start with, is there a movement? Because you and I are really so much into saying yes about it, but I know you have a broader view. Is there a real movement to being happy, or are people not attracted, a majority of people, I should say, not attracted to the issue of being positive, having gratitude? They just don't see that as happiness. They do see the better paycheck as happiness. I really don't know. in terms of for this country. And I'm interested to see that survey, but my prejudice is it's going to be very high on the eastern side. I'm not sure. We'll see. But I want to ask you whether or not happiness is a measure of success in this country. That's what I'm going to start with that. Okay?
Okay. Uh-huh.
Does that work? Okay, Stuart, let's go.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, da, da.
And hello, 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 we are back. This is a fun and happy day. We'll be talking about travel in the second half of our show, something that 84% of you say you're interested in pursuing, and then you stay home. And we're going to find out why. But right now, we're going to increase your well-being and happiness with the great positive psychology host, author, and, of course, she's a radio talk show host and coach, Lisa Cypress-Kamen. So we just had a discovery and that there is an actual website for this, harvestinghappiness.com, with help, support, videos, and, of course, a way to get the new book, Are We Happy Yet? 8 Keys to Unlocking a Joyful Life. But during our little break, I was asking Lisa whether or not pursuing happiness is actually a thoughtful stated goal of people. Or are their stated goals, as she said, more by the numbers? Next year I'll have a better job or my salary will be up. Do they think of those components, or are we really beginning to think about the pursuit of happiness?
I think this is a loaded question because when you look at the nature of humanity, we are hardwired for pleasure. Our brains are telling us all the time to pursue that thing that's going to give us pleasure. But most of the time, it's all about the temporary pleasure, right? It's about the instant gratification. How can I scratch the itch? And when we're talking about sustainable happiness or sustainable well-being, we're going to a much deeper level, to a probably is a heartfelt level, right, where we're really feeling as though our hearts are full, we're satisfied, we're satiated by the things that we have and we're experiencing and those that are close to us. And when we talk about aging and successful aging, I think the research really proves, you know, with the U-curve study, that as we age, our happiness returns because we're less worried about the obtaining of stuff, like you talk about the decumulation phase of life, where we are less hung up on social comparison, keeping up with the Joneses, and we become comfortable in our own skin.
I just give us a quick definition of U-curve so we could sort of visualize it.
Yes. The U-curve, imagine that when we start out life, you imagine a U in your mind, that the top of the curve on the left side is birth. So we come into the world in a pretty happy state, most of us. And then life experience, and as time goes on, that happiness diminishes. You know, as we reach our teens and our 20s, they're often very difficult times of self-discovery and establishing ourselves and our identities as humans. And then the U-curve bottoms out at the bottom. The horizontal portion is the midlife phase, when we're raising our children, when we are pushing hard in our careers, when we're really, there's a lot of demands on us, you know, a lot of responsibility. And as the kids leave and they go off to school and go off into their own lives, that U-curve picks back up on the right vertical side. And as we age, it comes back up. And the theory is that by the end of life, many of us will die very satisfied individuals.
Yeah, there's a wonderful stage of life called gerotranscendence. We actually talk about that here. Because Erickson, a social psychologist, Eric Erickson and his wife came up with these stages of life. But then, Lisa, they ended up being 94 years old, and they didn't have a stage for that. So they came up with a stage called gerotranscendence, where we are more for the other, just like you began the show with, that we're more for contribution to the world and leaving our legacy than we are for ourselves, and we actually do end up happier if we successfully navigate that stage. So I want to get to something you said, which is it really struck me, and that is this pleasure, wired for pleasure and temporary pleasure, which in no way happiness. But you say that you have five positive ways to conquer stress without what we generally do, which is spend money, go shopping, go on the computer, have a little Prosecco, whatever it is. You say that, well, that's me. I wonder who that could be. What do you do, instead of taking the drink or the piece of chocolate or whatever?
Ah, so we're talking about the numbing part, where we're seeking the happiness in the temporary chemical release, which is dopamine, which is the pleasure hormone in the brain. And it does come from all of those sources, the Prosecco, the chocolate, et cetera, or harder drugs. But it can come from being in nature, from taking a walk, from hugging, having a good, solid, delicious hug with somebody that you know or even that you don't know releases oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone. And you know when it's being released when you hold on to somebody long enough, which it's usually 6 seconds. And for those who are hug phobic, that could seem like an eternity. But you get that sort of shudder release when you exhale and you feel your body let down. That's the body releasing oxytocin. So it's making us feel connected. Playing with our pets.
Go ahead. No, that's right. There's now a pet. This is sad. But there's a robot pet for older adults because of what you're going to say about pets. Go right ahead. I mean, it's sad that we can't have pets sometimes. We just can't take care. But there's a robot pet that helps people if they can afford to own one of those. But why does that do that? I mean, why does that relieve stress? It does, I never knew why.
It does. Well, it because of that oxytocin, because that releases that connected, that good feeling of being connected to someone or something. And our pets, they love us unconditionally. If you look at your children, your grandchildren, your husband, your wife, your partner, whatever, yes, they love us and they love us to pieces. But they say they love us unconditionally. But a dog or a cat truly loves us unconditionally.
Yep. It's a wonderful thing to have that feeling. And we're always going back to the same thing, folks. If you contribute to others, like, grandparents organizations, where you go and you become a grandparent to a kid that doesn't have anybody, they begin to love you unconditionally, too, for that moment, perhaps. But you do feel it. It's terrific. And in Lisa's book, Are We Happy Yet? 8 Keys to Unlocking a Joyful Life, different ways that you can really execute in your real life and conquer some of this stress without binging or doing the things you feel bad about later are all laid out. And I think that's important. But let's wrap up with one thing here. I think people are afraid to say they're not happy. You talk about destigmatizing psychological health care. They're kind of afraid because we're supposed to be so happy. It's part of our measure. Is that, again, something that's busting open and changing, or do we still have that?
I believe that it is changing. I believe that it is our duty, to help others destigmatize mental health care, but also not even going to the point of health care, that it's important to just talk about our feelings. And depression and sadness are things that we've been taught, society has taught us, and our families have taught us to shut it in the closet because it's unacceptable. And when we do that, it makes us sick.
Yeah. Well, Make America Happy Again is one of your mottos, reclaiming joy. No matter what's happening around you, and I want to end with this one. This is not for people whose lives are perfect, and now they can go on to happiness. It doesn't work that way. We think it does, and so we strive for the perfection, which generally makes us unhappy. But we just love it. Are we happy yet? It's unlucky to us. Thank you so much.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate.
Don't go away, we're traveling.
For my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Lisa, are you with us?
I am. I'd love to have you on my show. I love what you're doing. I really do.
That's wonderful. Hold one second because I wanted to talk to you for a second. Do we have our
Okay.
Good. Next guest is not on yet, which is great. I would love to do that. I'm going to make a confession. I didn't have here that you were on Fox, so I didn't
have much to buy. You know what? You don't even need to plug it. I do. I've worked with Fox News Radio. I have for many years, and you know what? I never plug it myself, but they're doing a huge push for this book for me, so I felt the need to mention that.
Okay, no, I think it's very, very good. For many years, in the old days when I was doing financial journalism, I was on Fox many times. Not a show or anything, but I did have a show on Financial News Network, which then became CNN. So I love it, and I've always loved Fox. They were very good to me as a guest, which
yes,
is great.
They're fabulous. Yeah.
They're fabulous. I'd love to be on the show. All you have to do is send an email, and I'm sure you do it the way I do, by phone.
Yeah, I have a producer, and I'll get her name is Andrea Mengele, and we'll get it organized. It probably won't be until the late spring or early summer, and because we do conscious aging and healthy aging shows. We do them every maybe 3 to 4 months,
right.
So it's good. It's perfect, and I love what you're doing. So thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, this is wonderful. As you know, it'll be on the front page of the website, and then it'll be archived, and your producer will get all this information, or your PR person will get all this information from my producer. Okay?
Perfect. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day. Now, you're going to be in New York on Monday?
Yes, that's my intention.
All right, well, maybe we'll see one another at the UN. I'm not sure what they have planned for me over there, but
you know what?
If it's Beshert, it will cross paths. I think that's what will happen.
Exactly. If it is Beshert, we will cross paths. Okay, I can't hang up. I have my next guest on.
And I will.
Have a wonderful flight. And by the way, I'm partially on the West Coast, too. Santa Monica is where I have an office in Santa Monica.
Oh, well, I'm up the coast.
Okay,
right
wonderful.
At County Line. All right.
Terrific.
Talk to you later, Adrian. Have a good day.
Take
we'll connect.
Care.
We
Thank
will
you.
See one another. Bye.
We will. Sure.
Bye. Take care. Bye.
Hello, David?
Yes. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, David. I'm so glad you're on the show. I want to make sure I'm saying your last name correctly, though. So just pronounce
it's
it for
true.
Me.
It's Yeskel.
Okay, that was an easy one. And you are the cruise guru.
I'm the cruise guru.
Go ahead.
Amy, the publicist told me for this segment that you wanted to talk about Vegas, though. I'm also the Vegas guru.
It's interesting. Well, actually, both. Let me tell you that this show is a show for the older adult or the mature. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what we do is we cater to the very active person who, I guess, successful aging is their hobby, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
They really want to get out there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll always see that the end of my show is get out there, kids, and make it happen.
Okay.
Right? So, of course, that's the market that cruises, right?
Oh, sure. Right,
so
yeah.
Very, very definitely want to talk about what's new in cruising.
Oh, okay, great, sure.
Which is very good. Now, Vegas, I just came back.
Oh, yeah,
Because they had the EFA, the Environment for Aging there.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly found it hopping. And I've been there year after year, and I've seen it in downturns and upturns. I think it's in an upturn.
Oh, it definitely
so anything,
is. It definitely is.
Yeah, anything you want to contribute to that would be wonderful.
Sure. Okay, great.
I think the toughest question about Vegas for my group is what do you do with the kids? Because they're always my group is the bank. They bank
mm-hmm.
the family vacations. They take them
right.
to Disney and Aruba. You see what I'm saying?
Right,
but
I understand.
I don't know if you think of taking them to Vegas. So
we can talk a little bit about that. It's it's being thought of as kind of a family-friendly destination in some ways, but there's a caveat to that, and we can certainly talk about that.
And the last thing I would like on our list is one of the things I was speaking about in the EFA. My company is a consultant to hotels and to restaurants, but also
mm-hmm.
to assisted livings. So our idea is we bring the hospitality to the healthcare model. right?
I see, yes.
And we were talking about the Marriott. They have healthy rooms in Vegas. I think that they started it in Vegas, and they're sold out.
Yeah, actually, the MGM Grand started in Vegas.
MGM Grand
started. Yeah, they're called They're called Stay Well rooms.
I'll ask you about that.
Yeah.
It did, and I'll ask you about that. And I'll ask you about this whole new thing about personal service, and what's this that trend? Okay.
Personal service.
Yeah, we have here. This is from your thing. What's the experience differential? Gourmet cuisine, personalized service, and more interesting itineraries. Yeah.
Yeah, on cruises, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the cruise. Okay. We are ready.
Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and let me tell you one place you can easily be inappropriate for your age. In fact, you're supposed to be inappropriate for your age. One is Las Vegas, and the other is on a cruise ship. And this is the man you've been waiting for to tell you about both. His name is David Yeskel, and he is the cruise guru. And you can get a world of information, literally and figuratively, on oceancruise.guru.com, his website. We'll talk a lot more about that in a minute. But, David, you are the cruise guru. Tell me what you bring in information to vacationers, because we all say we want to travel. And many actually don't. And you really help them find the best values. So let's just start with Cruise Guru and what it's about.
Sure, Adrienne. So I've been covering the cruise industry for over 25 years for a variety of travel trade magazines, Travel Weekly, Travel Age West, and some consumer publications too. So I've been writing for a very critical audience, the travel trade, travel agents, educating them about what's going on in the cruise industry, and also for consumers. So I'm always looking for best values, you know, best service, best cuisine, things like that. I think cruising is actually the best vacation value there is. So for those of your listeners who've cruised, they know that you pay one price typically. You get your meals, you get your entertainment, of course, you know, great shipboard service, things like alcohol or extras, of course, and shore excursions. But to me, it's the best vacation value around.
Yeah, it truly is. And also for what we now, I guess, euphemistically call the mature market, because nobody's allowed to stay old except on this show. We appreciate being old because we don't like the alternative. We know that that is the market. But we have two groups of people listening today, David. People who are longing to take a cruise and people who have taken so many of them that they're getting bored. So I want to talk about both. Let's start with the group that has had many cruises.
Sure.
What's the new differentiator? What are you seeing that's keeping the excitement in cruising?
So the new differentiator in cruising, as it is with the rest of the travel industry, is really experiential travel. That's what everybody's looking for now. They're looking for experiences. People are tired of collecting, here's where I've been, and with a photo of the attraction in that destination, say. People want new experiences, and part of those experiences are on board, and most of those experiences are off the ship in off the beaten ports. So cruise lines are trying to vary their itineraries to add more interesting destinations. There are more cultural enrichment programs on board, maybe more foods reflecting the destination that they're visiting, also served on board. So it's not always about a compacted cruise experience different from where you're visiting. Cruise lines are trying to blend both the destinations they cruise to and bring those destinations aboard the ship. So I think that's kind of the newest trend in cruising.
Yeah, I'm going to take, I've cruised many times, but I've never had a river cruise. And I have two of them back to back. One is one way up the Danube, the other is the other way on the Danube. One of them is a music cruise. I'm a Gilbert and Sullivan fan, And so that's another kind of thing where it's themed. The other is a very fancy, very expensive one where I'm a speaker. So I'm going to be curious to see what they do. But the reason people river cruise, my listeners, is it really is easy on the body. Tell us a little bit about that, because I think that that's important to know for the people who've never cruised.
Sure, river cruising.
Yeah.
River cruising is very different than ocean cruising. So if people are used to taking ocean cruises, the ships are large. There are large distances to cover sometimes to get from your cabin, say, to the dining room. It may be a 10-minute walk. But there's a lot going on the ocean-going cruise ships because they're big. And the luxury end of the luxury of the ocean cruising market, are the ships are, of course, smaller. But river cruise ships are typically 100 to 200 passengers. They're small. They're accessible. You typically walk right off the ship into the city center, wherever you are, since the ships dock along the rivers, obviously, right in the city centers. So it's a more intimate experience, very different than ocean cruising. But it's growing very rapidly as an industry segment, because of the intimate nature of river cruising.
And the fact is that, as I say, we often have in our world, in our listenership, David, we're speaking with David Dieskel. He is the cruise guru, and you can find a lot of information about the destinations, what you would love, how to get the best value, at his website, oceancruise.guru.com. We're speaking, David, about this issue of frailty. I got to get to the jugular with this.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of couples who listen, and usually one of them, and most of the time I'm going to say it, it's the wife, is very active.
Mm-hmm.
The husband is less so. So tell us a little bit about cruising, whether it's river cruising, big boat cruising, doesn't matter. When you have differently abled couples or even friends that are traveling together.
Yeah, so I think the cruise lines are doing a very good job at catering to, and have always done a good job, by the way, at catering to people who have special needs. So particularly ocean cruises, they're used to catering to people of all ages and in all physical conditions. And as you say, sometimes one partner is very healthy and the other is in a wheelchair, possibly. So I think the cruise lines do a very good job of accommodating everyone. You'll see at the gangway in ports, for instance, they'll carry people down in the wheelchair down the gangway. Crew will be out there, and there may be four crew members that will carry somebody down the gangway in a wheelchair and then back up again. So I think the cruise lines go out of their way to cater to people, you know, with special needs, special physical needs, as well as special dietary needs. I was just on a Holland America cruise, and they do a great job at that. And that is, Holland America is this venerable company. They've been around forever. Everybody knows what they're about. They're building new ships that are more modern looking. They're beautiful with incredible art and colors, but they still have that same personalized service that caters to people and makes them feel special and helps them enjoy their vacation regardless of their physical status, regardless of their dietary needs. Everybody's the same on board, and that's what I think is unique about cruising. You get as much help as you need, but you still feel like you're still part of the experience, and you can still experience everything. Now, that said, people with disabilities, I think, are better served on ocean cruising than on river cruising. On river cruises, I think you need to be a little more agile just because of things you're walking over sometimes. Ocean cruising, I think people in wheelchairs particularly are accommodated a little easier, and it's a better experience.
Yeah, many years ago I started something just for love, because I love travel so much, called The Ageless Traveler.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a website. It's not monetized, but I was easily able to get an arrangement with a group in Florida called Special Needs at Sea. And that's what they do. They'll even bring a hospital bed into a big cruise ship. It's the only place where you can get that kind of ability to travel. And it's really working. Now, I happen to like Carnival. I mean, I have kids on the West Coast, so it's really easy to go out there and spend 3 days in Mexico, you know, just because of Carnival travel.
Sure, sure.
What's your take on these ships? How do people choose between a Royal Caribbean, you know, the Holland America? Is it only price, or should they know more?
Oh, it's much more than price, actually. And I always recommend that travelers work with a travel agent who's a cruise specialist. It's very important to find the right cruise line that's a good fit for a traveler. So people think, oh, I can just – cruises are a commodity now to a lot of people. You know, I'll just look on price. I'll go to one of these OTAs, the online travel agency like Expedia. I could just pick a cruise out, find the right price. That's absolutely the wrong way to do it. There's no cost to people to use a travel agent. You should find a good travel agent who's also a cruise specialist who knows the different cruise lines. They're all different, and they all cater to different demographics, people looking for different things with different interests. And to get the right fit, it takes a few questions to start with. And a good travel agent will fit you into the right cruise line that is going to work for you. And the experience will be worth it. So that's what I really recommend. But the cruise lines are all really different and kind of focus on different areas for different demographic segments.
Well, that's wonderful, because we did talk at the beginning that there were two kinds of listeners, one who've not been on a cruise, and one who've been so many that they're wondering, what do I do next? And David Yeskel, who should know, he's the cruise guru, says, you know, go the old-fashioned, go old school. Call a travel agent and who really is intimately familiar, and perhaps you'd go first to oceancruise.guru, get some information from David. We come back, we're going to go into the grandma pack. So you're paying for the trip, huh? Want to go to Vegas? Want to go on a cruise? Go on that.
I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da.
Okay, David, this is good. You could say I'm just leading into the Vegas, you know, portion.
Sure.
Is there anything in particular, in general, that you would like to bring out? Because I think we're getting a lot done here.
Sure. So I write a story every year for Travel Weekly. It's called Las Vegas' Best Bets. I've been writing it for 14 years now. And I round up what I think is the best in Vegas. And so I could talk a little bit about what I picked this year. The story just came out in January. I could tell what I picked and what I like in Vegas right now, because Vegas is continually reinventing itself, you know. The same website has two URLs. It's also thevegas.guru. There's no .com at the end, by the way. So it's oceancruise.guru and thevegas.guru. They both go to the same place. They both go to the same site, but I have the two personal brands. So I'm known as the cruise guru and known as the Vegas guru. So if you want to use that, that's fine. But
I do. So you have oceancruise.guru and you have Vegas.
I have thevegas.guru.
Thevegas.guru. Okay,
thevegas.guru.
Right. So I have a list of some of the other things you write for, which I'm going to start with.
Sure.
And you'll see how I'll introduce it, Vegas writing. Okay?
Okay,
Stuart,
sure.
We are ready. And this is our last segment, so I'll be signing out when you hear the music.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, 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 this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Now, the truth is that according to the AARP, 84% of all retirees say that their first wish after retirement is travel. And less than 40% do. Well, I'm here to stamp that out. I want people out there because we are the ambassadors to the world, truly the older traveler. We really are. When you see a child, you smile at that child. That's automatic as we get older. The more smiles, the happier the whole world. So that's my thing, and I personally love to travel, and I'm very pleased to have David Yeskel, who is the cruise guru, on the show. And we gave you his website, oceancruise.guru, but he's also the Vegas guru, the Vegas guru. And he's going to tell us the exact way to do that website, because you may want to know more about Vegas. And I don't want you to turn off. Just give me a minute here. Now, David is himself a veteran travel journalist. He has columns and commentary in many industry publications, Travel Weekly, Travel Age West, and he'll tell you about what he's been doing with Vegas. Because I was there recently, you all know I was at a conference there, the Environments for Aging, and I see a different Vegas. I see a Vegas that maybe you as grandma or grandpa might even want to take the grandkids to, right? So let's talk about that a little bit, David. First of all, what's your involvement with Vegas as a journalist? And how can the older adult, who maybe doesn't gamble and doesn't want to leave anything so spectacular in Vegas that nobody else can know about,
sure,
how could they use Vegas as a vacation for themselves and the whole family?
Sure, Adrian. So I can tell you that I have been covering Las Vegas also for over 25 years. The last 15 years or so for Travel Weekly, which is a very prestigious industry publication. And Vegas offers something for everyone. I really think that's what Vegas is about. And I've been writing this annual column for the last 14 years. I call Las Vegas' Best Bets, where I take a look at 8 or 10 different areas or categories of hospitality in Vegas, hotels, restaurants, shows, and I round up what I think are the 8 or 10 best every year. And my story, my 2016 Best Bets story, just came out in January in Travel Weekly. And there's so much great going on in Vegas, and as anybody who's been there knows, it's continually reinventing itself. So there are so many things to do. There are great restaurants, and there's really something for everybody. So it's not all about gambling anymore. It's about shows. It's about great hotels, spas, great restaurants. Some of the best chefs in the world are there. So people don't have to gamble in Vegas. There's so much else to do that you can stay busy. You may have to walk through the casino a little bit, but there's so many other things going on in Vegas that are great.
You know, I have to put in my own life experience here. Lake Las Vegas, which is a gated community, and Henderson, which is a town near Vegas, and they're all very close to Lake Mead, which is very beautiful. These are the fastest-growing retirement centers in the United States. And their big town, of course, is Vegas. So things have to be happening in Vegas that are catering to the older adult. And I do see, maybe you can tell us a little bit about it, new museums, science museums, different things that are not that far away from the hub that are popping up a little bit, as well as theaters, and that are not even in the casinos.
Yeah,
tell us a little bit about it. I don't know if they're catering to tourists or they're just catering to the new people moving in.
So the basically those off-strip museums are more catering to locals. They're catering more to locals. So people visiting, you know, may go off-strip to see a museum, but they're typically centered in and around the Strip. That's really where the action is. That's where all the innovation is. But there are off-strip resorts that also cater to locals and visitors, and one of those is Green Valley Ranch, which is in Henderson, where you're familiar with. It's
right.
A beautiful resort. There's another one in another direction in Summerlin called Red Rock Resort. It's also beautiful, off-strip, a lot more space than what's available on the Las Vegas Strip. But for the excitement, innovation, the dining, the shows, it's really all about the Las Vegas Strip, and there's so much going on there, and it's continually changing, and it's really for all ages.
Yeah, let's talk about the hotels for a minute. I actually go to Red Rock a lot because I'm a walker, and you can go to actually the Red Rocks, and you can hike and do some wonderful things there and get into Vegas fairly easily. But I was noticing some great things happening into the hotels. Like you mentioned during our little private talk, the MGM wellness rooms. Then I stayed at the Delano, which is a little like a hotel in a hotel.
Yes, I love the Delano.
There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, I like the hotel in hotels. So I think Delano is great. So as you know, this was previously called the Hotel at Mandalay Bay. It was a separate hotel tower. It was rebranded a couple of years ago into Delano. It's they gave it a completely new look. It's this beautiful white look, very clean and beautiful, luxurious rooms. And that's it's a getaway within Vegas. So it's a non-gaming, non-smoking, all-suite tower kind of in the middle of Mandalay Bay. So you can walk out of the action, all the action from Mandalay Bay, the casino, the pools, and walk 30 seconds and you're into this serene environment in Delano and you feel like you're somewhere else completely. You don't feel like you're in the middle of the Vegas Strip. So you can get that experience in Las Vegas with these hotel products like Delano that are very different than what people used to think of, very very different than people's image of a Vegas hotel. And I think they're great getaways right on the Strip that are available for people.
And I think that although it is not the most ideal place for little kids, it's very tough. But for teenagers, there's some interesting things. Every hotel tries to have something, a museum, an art center, the shark experience or something else. And, of course, everywhere you've got Cirque du Soleil shows and things of that nature. It's not cheap. So for our last hurrah here, tell everybody your Vegas website, because the biggest problem with Vegas for families is often the price. So
sure.
Since you are the guru, what's the website they should go to for the best deals?
Sure. So they can look at my website for information and guidance, of course. All my stories are there. It's thevegas.guru. That's thevegas.guru. Or even follow me on Twitter, where I'm the Vegas guru. Every day I post tips, deals, great values that I find. So either of those two places, you'll find my stories.
Oh, there. You know what? We have to always wrap up. I hate that. But you know what? I'm going to say this is very apropos, David. Get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay, we got it all out.
Great. That was fun.
It wasn't fun. I loved it, too. And I love to travel. And I'll look at the website because I'll tell you something very quickly that changed my life that will show you how important what you do is. I love to travel. I've traveled since I'm 11 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I very, very, very bad seasickness.
Oh, really?
And I could never go on a cruise. Terrible situations.
Mm, yeah.
And I went across country on the QE2 35 years ago, and they almost had to bury me at sea. I started to take acupuncture for seasickness. Three sessions, $80 a piece. I've been cruising ever since.
Wow. No kidding. That helped you.
You have no idea how bad it was.
Wow.
And my husband loves cruising, and we just didn't cruise for decades.
Wow.
And about 4 years ago, somebody said, did you ever try acupuncture? And I had everything, patches and shots. You have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As a radio person, they used to give me free cruises.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I couldn't go. It was just whatever you could think of was bad. So if anybody talks to you about that,
okay,
let them know.
So do you get the acupuncture?
Somebody.
Do you get the acupuncture once you're on the ship?
No.
No.
The way I did it, and there may be many ways, but the way I did it was 3 weeks. I was determined to do a cruise.
Mm-hmm.
We booked it so I couldn't get out.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 weeks before, I took three sessions at a local acupuncturist who had a very good reputation. And believe me, it was nothing. It was not painful.
Mm-hmm.
But she put it in certain places, which was known for seasickness.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and then she kind of infused me with ginger tea,
mm-hmm.
which is for balance, ear balance.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was it. I got on, and I was a camper. And
that's great.
Glad
to hear that. That's good to know. Thanks for that info. That's good to know.
Okay. So anyway, thank you for this information. We cruise, so we'll use your website. And I really appreciate you being on. You'll be on the front page of the website on Wednesday, and then it's archived. So if you want to promote the segment, great. But it will be heard live this Sunday.
This Sunday. Is the show syndicated? Is it carried across the country? Yeah.
It is. And you have to. Yeah, and it's also on an app. You can go to BizTalk, P-I-Z-K-L-K, and you can listen live on the app, too.
Oh, sounds great. Thanks very much, Adrienne. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Okay,
me too.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye. Okay, bye.